I will turn on the music and then we'll be ready.
All right.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to take a big sip.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life in a brand new studio. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. And we're in a brand new studio.
That's right.
Which you already said. And today with us is...
Emily Finch.
Emily, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited.
Really appreciate this. And the whole rigmarole, I forgot to pull out our script cards.
I forget
what you say now.
I was going to reach underneath the mixer, because that's where we usually keep them. But again, everything's all new. But of course, those of you who have been listeners for a while, you know that we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Find in our show notes right as we're recording, covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and the internet.
And we are enjoying some lovely beverages. Aaron, you are about to open.
I'm going to crack open.
Yeah, yeah.
A Bundaberg root beer.
And you've had the Bundaberg ginger ale on the show before several times,
their
right?
Ginger beer is like my favorite ginger beer.
So the test of whether or not they're a legitimate brewing company that can make other beverages well is about to be...
It's about to happen, right?
Undertaken, yeah. Does it stand the test of time?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah? Mm. is that good or bad?
Well, it was like this lavender start, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
In root beer?
In root beer.
Fascinating.
Actually, as far as a root beer, I'm not terribly fond of it.
I'm trying to think if this is like some other kind of product where, like, if it wasn't what they were saying it was, then it would be okay. Like when I went off cigarettes for a while, I was smoking those herbal cigarettes, and if I wasn't going for tobacco, they'd be fine. But if I was expecting a tobacco hit, like it didn't satisfy at all. So
no, this is pretty good. Like
Okay. Yeah.
At first, I said I'm not very fond of it, but you know, I'm turning back around. this is good. So yeah, it's got this kind of like lilac-y start.
Really, that's a lot of flowers in there.
I'm not sure I can identify like how that finishes. It doesn't taste like root beer though. Here's the thing. It doesn't taste like a root beer to me.
Okay.
But it tastes good, whatever it is.
It's a root non-beer.
Yeah.
Or a non-root,
beer. Beer.
Right, because if it's not roots, flowers.
Sure. It's a very floral soda. They should call it like lilac soda.
Totally,
And I would like this a lot more.
Yeah. Emily, have you ever had the dry sodas?
I have not.
I'm trying to remember. It's like what? Lavender. And like blood orange or something like that.
Orange. They do have a vanilla bean.
Yeah.
And I think a lime.
They're all completely clear. They look like Pepsi Clear? You can see through it.
Yeah.
It was very, very similar to that, but basically it's like, you know, really natural flavors, not too sweet and really tasty. I think we had those with Ellie Tallheimer when she came in because she wanted to make...
Oh,
but
yes.
There's no alcohol content, right?
No, they're just soda.
But we made... What did we make out of those?
Gin and tonics.
Gin and tonics.
Ooh.
Right, with the lavender soda. That was actually pretty good.
I'll have that after this.
Yeah. There we go.
She came over and we're like, oh, yeah, we can make you a gin and tonic. How do you make a gin and tonic?
Yeah, that was the thing. I didn't
know. She ended up doing the mixing herself.
Well, actually, she wasn't quite sure what the ratios were supposed to be either.
Oh, no, Candace did.
And so, our housemate Candace was the one that kind of came to the rescue and was like, no, I know how to make mixed drinks. You know, just get out of the way. I'll take care of it. So it worked out really nicely.
Ooh,
but, yeah. Do you know Ellie?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to introduce her to you sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's the author of... What's it called?
Hop in the Saddle is
Hop
one
in the
of
saddle.
Them.
Okay, yeah.
Cycling Sojourner is the
that's
other.
Cycling yeah. Sojourner. That's the, yeah, because I was just going to say the Oregon Bike Tour book, but that's
that
not,
is
what
not
it's,
it.
Not the title.
It is an Oregon Bike Touring book.
That's what it does, yeah. But very cool. So anyways, I think she's just about to release a new book of bike tours through Washington, kind of covering the Northwest with bicycle touring goodness. So I'm excited to see what comes of that.
Speaking of Washington, I just found out today that... You have to, it's required by law to wear a helmet over
Get
there.
Get out. Really? For adults?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Is it Washington State or?
Washington State.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that because I know Vancouver, the city of Vancouver has a helmet ordinance for everyone. As does Seattle have a helmet law?
Well, maybe I misunderstood our ride leaders. Okay. But that's what they were at the ice cream ride today.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they were saying. And I know I'm not like revealing any secrets right now, but their surprise destination was across the river at an ice cream joint.
I was going to say, are they state secrets?
Just ice cream, huh?
As far as, I know, yeah. There are other things that you could get over there.
Right, right. Well, they've recently legalized a lot of other stuff, too. So ice cream.
Not
being
just ice cream.
Which ice cream shop did you go to?
I was only able to go to two of them. Cloud City was our first destination because we started in Woodstock.
Oh, yeah. Outer Southeast?
Yep.
They have free Wi-Fi.
They did not.
Oh, they don't?
Well, maybe I just didn't ask. I don't know. I couldn't get in online anyways.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that siren going by, that's because now we live on a major arterial.
With the windows open.
Right, right. We have the door open because the breeze and all that. So listeners, be advised. You'll just hear some stuff. Hmm. And I can't do a thing about it.
Yeah. That's the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Ask me, I know.
It's going to be a more colorful podcast.
Oh, seriously, yeah. Yeah, it'll have the marks of real life.
Yeah. Emily, I got to say, I'm really self-conscious about my voice now.
I know.
Can you tell?
No, I love your voice.
Stop it.
I love everything.
How far into that stout are you?
Oh, you're doing fine. You're just getting started.
Yeah. No, I'm going very slowly.
You are. Yeah.
I'm not known for holding liquor without food, but I have a chocolate bar in my purse.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know how that will work with a wrapper.
Totally. No, it's cool. Slow, again, it'll be part of the pastiche.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, sweet.
That effect.
Emily, you and I are both drinking the Oakshire. Is it Oakshire or Oakshire?
I don't know.
Out of Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah. I've always pronounced it Oakshire.
Oakshire.
Oh.
The Overcast Espresso Stout, and I was just saying, it's this is my favorite style of beer, the beer with coffee in it. The first one I ever had was Hopworks has the 7-grain stout, and that's got espresso beans in it as well.
This is the first time I've ever had anything like this. Seriously?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the one that I had at Christmas time was from Laurelwood, and I think that's probably, as far as quality is concerned, like this is a great one, but I think that one still takes the cake for my favorite. My favorite espresso stout. So anyways, yeah, beer and coffee together is something that cannot be beat.
I'm going to try very hard to speak very slowly.
I believe in your powers. So Emily, are you a Pedalpalooza participant?
Let's see. No, I really haven't done much this year except for the naked bike ride.
Oh, there we go.
You did not see me on there.
I wasn't there anyway.
Yeah. I saw enough.
Go figure.
I was too high up on my tall bike to be able to see anybody or recognize anybody.
Yeah.
Although I did have, I think there was a listener that like was like, "Hey, Brock."
No.
Yeah. I think it was
Jim. That's the worst time you
that's cool.
You could introduce
and Timo and Esther.
Of course.
I saw them and I saw all of them. So good times.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they saw all of me. But I don't have much. It was a good time. That's a great ride. It's really interesting how many people come out for it. And the fact that it took a full hour to get all the participants like actually riding and moving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where you were in the line? Like, were you?
I think I was maybe 2/3 of the way back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I and Adele were at the very end of the line.
Oh.
The only people riding behind us were people who had already completed the circuit and were going to try and do it again. So.
Well, maybe I saw you come in then because we hung out for a long time. Skating.
That's the thing. That's the thing that would bar me. Well, aside from the actual nakedness.
Right, right.
If I could somehow get the courage to actually be naked, I think that would be the thing that would also stop me from doing this, is the fact that now that I'm naked, which is enough for me, now I have to stand around for another hour and mingle?
Right. Yeah, and it's surprising, actually. There was a guy who I met on my first Midnight Mystery ride who was performing medic duties.
Your first Midnight Mystery ride?
On my first Midnight Mystery ride, okay. Yeah. And so he was wearing his medic's vest, but that's all he was wearing. And he's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And so it's like this person that I've seen in real life, and there he is. And so it was kind of like crossing the boundaries, you know?
Right. Everything.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was surprisingly easy to enter into conversations with strangers because, like, you know, we're all here. Might as well acknowledge each other's presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I am curious, Emily, how long have you lived in Portland?
Almost 3 years.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And there is now a famous and storied story of you getting into bicycling. Do you want to start there?
Okay. So let's see. Okay.
And really dish. dish. This isn't Ricky.
All right, okay. I hear it can be edited later. Let me have some of your.
Seriously. Yeah,
Ricky Lake edited out a lot of things. Like, I said big ass, and they took it out.
That bitch.
I know. Yeah, that's right.
Did they cut out ass or just, or big ass the
they,
entire
They cut out big.
The whole thing, and then there was something, I made some sex reference.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I have to make a lot of sex jokes, like, proactively.
Sure.
You know.
Right, just
kind
of.
Before anyone else goes there.
Yeah, you want to
I went
that.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was daytime TV, so right. They said no.
Yeah. And TV gets edited like crazy. Like,
oh, yeah,
that's
right?
Just the nature of the beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were on.
How long was the actual filming?
Oh, like 45 minutes maybe? Uh-huh. And then, I mean, my part was like really small because there was like somebody who was extreme couponing and buying, I don't know, like lots of green beans. And then.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, they're
else?
Healthy.
And there was an extreme eater.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she competitive had eater?
A competitive eater.
Oh, a gurgitator.
Like she could eat a what?
They're called gurgitators.
She was like the black widow, Sonia, somebody, the Black Widow, and she, oh my gosh. Anyway,
well, that shit's like pro wrestling.
She could eat like 500 oysters.
Wow.
Whoa.
Just like They had she like ate hard boiled eggs.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Just
I like
one
oysters.
After the
that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And hot dogs. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I
feel
could
like
eat that.
See, the problem with eating hot dogs competitively to me is that you don't really get to enjoy the hot dog. Like the nature of competitive eating is you're trying to do it as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Yes.
So you don't really get to chew. You don't get to masticate the hot dog as you would if you were enjoying it, you know, as you normally would.
Yeah, it's so completely not like bike riding.
You're kind of just like sliding one down right after the
yes.
other. So I'm thinking oysters would actually be like the best thing to do competitively.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of like.
Because like oyster shooters or what, raw oysters you have in that way.
They're disgusting.
Them, right? But that would, I think you'd have to walk.
They're disgusting anyway. So I'm just, if I did have to down an oyster, I would just get it over with as fast as possible.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd have to like oysters.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I wonder if these people actually like the food that they eat.
You can't. You can't possibly
it seems difficult.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So we just got off on that whole tangent.
Sorry. Well, yeah.
I was just fascinated to me. That there's nothing simple about that life at all.
No.
But no, you were on Ricky Lake, and it was because you made a drastic change to embracing a bicycle as transportation.
Yes.
And this was it January that it released, went on TV?
It went on TV December 7th.
Okay, December. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So before that, I basically bumped into Jonathan Maas of Bike Portland at a park in June. And I had my kids with me and my bike. And he's all like, how many kids you got? You know, and I told him I had six. And then I, you know, he wanted to know, I can't remember. He wanted to meet me and talk about how I gave up my car and bike everywhere. And so we did. And no one expected it to kind of, no one expected the story to spread.
Right.
So,
yeah, it was kind of it was a viral sort of story.
Yeah.
Is that still a cool word? I don't know.
I don't know. Is it?
It spread like a virus.
Yeah. It did. It did.
You know, it went from person to person. Everyone was really excited about it.
Mm.
And also Reddit. Once Jonathan posted the article, Reddit had this huge, like, check this lady out. She's doing something amazing.
I don't really know what Reddit is.
Neither do I.
Okay, yeah.
Neither do I. I don't know how it works at all.
Okay.
Brandon, where are you?
Brandon Rhodes knows how Reddit works.
Okay.
But,
Brandon
yeah.
lives on Reddit.
Oh, really? Wow.
Does he?
I know he is often spending time on Reddit. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like if I understood it, maybe it'd be fun. But I already have a lot of stuff going, so
Yeah.
Too many podcasts to listen to. How did this all start? Because I believe you had a slideshow presentation that you gave at the League of American Bicyclists Women's Forum?
Mm-hmm. The Women's Summit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, which I basically kind of put my little life story out there. Okay, so basically it started because I reconnected with my dad after 20 years. And he's kind of was very different from me, you know, politically. Every way he was completely different from me, and the relationship was very slow going. And
not too many natural connections you really had
to
work on.
No, not really. Actually, that's kind of funny. No, I really felt like we were opposites, but we were actually very, very the same. I realized that after a couple of years.
Interesting.
But at the time I was, you know, we just seemed very different. And so we started sharing documentaries back and forth. And his big thing was he could not stop talking about, number one, the Bush administration, and number two, peak oil.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, every time you say the word peak oil, I'd roll my eyes. And And I, but I watched all of the documentaries, you know, and then I finally got him to watch. I was into home birth, and I got him to watch this one Ricky Lake documentary on home birth.
Okay.
And he did watch it, and he watched watched her give birth naked in the bathtub, which, I mean, that's something,
intense,
right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So he did that for me. And I watched these documentaries, and I just kind of flaked out. I was like,
too
oh, my God, you know, so... I had this huge flake out, and I used to enjoy riding a bike, just like I had this little beater bike I rode around in college. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't into sports or anything. Yeah.
But most people do. And, like, before you could afford a car, you're like, hey, I have a bike, and I'm free.
You hang your groceries from the handlebars, and, like, they get caught in the chain. Yeah. So, but I had happy memories of just feeling very independent, you know, on my bike in college, And so once I had kids, I always wanted to be able to ride with them. But I mean, I just could not stop having babies. And so it was getting in my way. You know? So it seemed like I could not solve the logistical issues around riding with my kids. And I was just thinking, like, I just want to go for a bike ride to the ice cream shop or something. I wasn't thinking, like, I'm going to replace my vehicle.
You weren't thinking of, like, any revolutionary
movement. No. But then the whole peak oil thing, you know, I started freaking out.
It finally clicked.
Like, yeah. And I'm looking at my giant Suburban. I had a 9-passenger Suburban. And, oh, God, it had, like, a DVD player and everything. It was amazing. Like, they would sit there and they would just, like, stare up at the screen, you know?
Technological wonder.
Yeah, there were some nice times in that car. Anyway, when people weren't, like, throwing up and stuff. But, so I was... wanted to make some sort of a change. And I started, every once in a while, you know, get on and like Google search for something and you don't like know quite what you're looking for. You don't know what it is. You know, there's something out there. There has to be, but you don't know what Google search term you know, to put
in.
And you just got to get that magic keyword.
Yeah. So I've been trying like all these like trailers. I was looking at, what is it? You know, like a pedicab, you know, like
right.
from China, something.
Yeah, like with a big seat in the back. And
pile
people in there.
Because I wasn't enough of a freak already, you know. So I Googled family bike, and one of the first like three images that popped up was a Bockfietz cargo bike.
Right, which is the front loader with the box on the front.
It has a giant box in the front with a little thingy that runs underneath. My bike knowledge is
that's the same word I would use.
And a wheel in the front.
That's what that part is called.
It's called a thingy. So you like turn the handlebars and the front wheel turns. But the box is really low to the ground. And so you can load it up with, you know, couches or kids or whatever you want.
Your center of gravity is low.
Yes.
And so like it's easier to balance the load because it's not going to, there's less leverage on the bike.
Yeah. Leverage.
So is this, let me just backtrack real quick. Did you, when you were done with all the documentaries, did you agree with your dad? Like, did you come around or?
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, I did. I came around.
This was like a change out of like conviction or something as opposed to being like goaded into it or something like
no, you had. No, he wasn't pressuring me because it made sense. What he was saying made sense.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't really argue with it ultimately.
Right,
you know what I mean? I was kind of wanted to roll my eyes at him, and he was kind of annoying. But ultimately,
how much of that is because like it's coming from your dad?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I know,
if
right?
If it was like a coworker or a peer of some kind.
Exactly. Or if I had found the information first.
Yeah, for yourself. Sure.
Yes. So, what were we saying? I forgot.
You got the Bockfietz.
Oh, yeah. So
once you were convicted, you were like, I want to make a change.
Oh yeah.
Based around like oil consumption and everything.
He did not pressure me into it. And in fact, when I found the Bockfietz, I told everybody because that's how I am that I was going to get rid of my car and replace it with a bike. And the first thing he said was, "That's crazy."
Your dad said this?
My dad said this. Oh, he said, "There's no way you can't live without a car. That's ridiculous."
So Mr. Peak Oil.
Mr. Peak Oil is driving around New York in a pickup truck right now.
That's hilarious.
I know. But of course, like I have this weird personality in it. So if anybody says like you can't do something, then I'm like, oh yeah, oh yes, I can.
Now check this out.
Yeah. So I waited till my husband got home. I saw the bike at 3. My husband got home at 5, and I was like, I'm buying a bike and I'm getting rid of the car. And my husband's used to this, right? I mean, we're getting rid of all our furniture and replacing it with hammocks. I mean,
right.
He's always like, what's going on tonight? I have no idea. So,
did you actually replace your furniture with hammocks?
Oh, it's in process.
It's okay. Happening.
Yes, yes. The furniture is out.
Uh-huh.
And the hammocks are coming in.
This is an interesting tangent. I'm curious. Just let's talk about this while we're here.
Okay.
Is it spatial concerns? Are you trying to get like furniture out of the way, or is it comfort?
It's something everything. Else? Okay. Well, see, we over the winter we pushed all of our furniture to the sides of the room and roller skated.
Okay.
And it was really cool.
Wow. Indoor roller skating.
Indoor roller skating.
Do you have hardwood floors?
That sounds like so much fun.
I know. It was so much fun.
Nice.
But then after a while, I started thinking, like, this is kind of weird. So we put our furniture back. And we've been normal for a couple months. But
okay.
But yeah, now I'm kind of feeling this itch, you know?
So is it the itch to roller skate?
Well, so the deal is that we're going to hang hammocks to sit on and maybe sleep on. I don't know. And then you just, like, push the hammocks aside and you have a roller rink.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, dance or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah.
Nice. This is an idea that we have not shared before on the show, so I'm excited about that.
Are you open to adoption?
Yeah, yeah.
Will you be my mom?
Yes, absolutely. I've already seen you naked. So.
Good point.
I am an excellent aspect bird.
Well, it should be clarified that you actually have not been seen naked because you never are.
That's true.
Yeah, you're
never
nude.
I was on that ride.
Yeah. Did you see me? I waved.
I
went outside and waved at everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, well... I'm sure.
I didn't recognize you, just like I didn't recognize you today. Anyway.
The happy serendipity of Petapalooza.
I was wearing the same thing.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, suspenders. You must have ridden by first before I ran out. Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
that is great. So you had to get the rubber stamp from your husband.
Because I had to buy a bike.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's cool with stuff. But I was actually ready to buy a bike anyway. Like I was looking for something. I thought I was going to get like a trailer. But you know,
that's what most people consider like when they're going to move kids around by bike. Like the trailer is the first option.
Totally.
Probably because it's cheap for one. And maybe just because it's cheap.
And because they probably have fewer children.
Right.
So when I got my bike, my son was...
Well, you can unattach the trailer too, so then it just becomes a regular bike.
Yeah,
true.
Well, and a trailer also is easier to find than a Bockfietz, generally. Unless you're in Portland, then you can get one like at every corner store.
Easier to know about. I mean, like everyone, you see trailers all over America.
Totally.
I mean, here in Portland, you see. I did not know there were all these different cargo bike options until I moved here.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea. I just bought what I saw on the internet.
Yeah. So when eliminating the trailer from the running as a possibility.
It never would have worked.
Okay.
Well, now that I've lived in Portland, I've seen people do, they'll have like their bike and you can put like a seat on the back and then you can put, I've seen the, you know, the little like tag along type bike on the back
connected
to that, a trailer, which I think would be really hard. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. So it could maybe do
you have to do like really wide turns for something
that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you could do kind of like semi trucks. You could do like a double or a triple trailer or something.
Right. It seems like you'd have a permanent like wheelie, you know?
I would imagine so.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. Mm.
So you settled on the Bockfietz and said, this is what's going to work for us.
Yeah. So it was just this huge flake out because I never stopped and thought. I was 6 months pregnant with my sixth child.
At that time.
Huh. I never stopped and thought, maybe I should put everyone on a scale and see how much this weighs. Like, I was like, seats. How many does it seat? You know, I never thought about like, well, what goes into moving that much weight? And of course, at the time, it was we all of us together with the bike were like 450 pounds.
Yeah.
But I didn't do the math.
Is there any family that has ever done like the collective weight of their family? Like I don't know that
like,
that's a thing
people
do
that
often.
Way, right? And if you buy a car, you're not thinking like that. So I didn't. I kind of bought the bike and asked questions later. Well, when it almost killed me, I came back and put everyone on a scale.
Okay.
I put everyone on a diet. That's what I did.
Yeah. So when did you start getting noticed? You mentioned that once you started hauling people around, you bumped into Jonathan at the park.
Yeah.
Was this like early on?
No.
Did he see you?
So when I first got my bike, I lived in Pennsylvania. Okay. So that's, I had never seen.
Where in Pennsylvania?
In Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It's this little teeny town in north central Pennsylvania. And
okay.
That's the beauty of Google. See,
Aaron has spent some time in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. I grew up. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I lived there for 4 years.
So did I.
Almost the same thing.
There we go.
Really? Yeah. What years?
Exactly 4 years. 98 to 02.
Oh, I missed you.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Do you make a damn good Reuben sandwich? Because that's what he was doing in Pittsburgh.
Get out, really? Is that where you put like the French fries on top?
That's a Permane sandwich.
Oh yeah,
or,
yeah.
More commonly, a plowman's lunch.
Oh yeah, yeah. My sister lives in Pittsburgh. Oh yeah, so there's a big story there. Okay, so I lived in this little town. I Google searched. I found this bike. It came off a giant truck from Clever Cycles in Portland, which is down the street from where I live now. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's another story. But
they shipped it all the way out to Pennsylvania.
They shipped it to me.
Yeah.
Yes. And when it came off, it looked like a boat. My neighbors all thought I'd gotten a boat. And I put all my kids in it, and I got a little seat on the back so I could put 5 kids on. And I put my kids on it, and I biked down to my husband's work, which was like half a mile away. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I made the stupidest, most embarrassing, most expensive mistake ever of my whole life, because I couldn't stop like going.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I was pregnant. There was like not a lot of like lung room in there, you know?
Right. And your lungs probably like you weren't. Were you a huge exerciser?
Oh my
before
gosh,
that?
No. Okay. I was 25 pounds heavier. I hate sports. Uh-huh. I'm afraid of balls. And
me too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And running is like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So no, I was completely just flab from head to toe.
And so, well, that's respiratory too. Like it's a thing that like, if you don't exercise or you're not a sports person, it feels weird when you first go out for a run or a strenuous bike ride, like your lungs are like, I can't take this. We're not used to this. Oh, stop, stop, stop. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kept going, 'cause it was kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
So I kept, the grocery store was a mile away. I would bike back and forth to the grocery store, and it began to be kind of fun to see what I could put besides 5 kids in the bike. So I'd be like, 5 kids and a watermelon and
charcoal wine. Briquettes,
yeah, load it up. You know, I get lots of stares.
And at this point, are you blogging about this?
Not blogging.
You're just doing about
just,
it.
Just writing just it. And everyone's this. Like, you know, talk. It was a really small town. Everyone knew her family. Everyone knew her kids. And they're like, your crazy
Oh, that's
wife,
the East
you know?
Coast, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They're all up in your business, you know? Yes. Things were said about me. Anyway, so.
You were the talk of the town?
Mm-hmm.
So how was this town for riding in?
It was totally great, because it was, you know, a town that was built in like, I don't know, like the 1820s,
mm-hmm.
you know? So. Along the river, flat, totally great. You could get everywhere you wanted to go by going through neighborhood streets. But the problem was that no one rode, except you had like the spandex crowd that would every night at 5 o'clock go past my house.
Every night, like on schedule, you could set your watch by
on schedule. They're like, "Woo, we're still spandex." You know? But
do you have the same reaction as me? Like my natural reaction, just like "fuck you guys."
I like to erase them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I haven't won yet, but
yeah. I'm also working on that. As listeners will note, I'm trying to break myself of my natural "fuck you" tendencies when I see the spandex, because it doesn't really mean anything.
Mean anything. I do. You know, if you wear spandex a lot and you kind of rub on your saddle, you can actually have like a little see-through spot. Sometimes if people are really jerky, I try to look for that.
Oh, okay.
You know, let them pass and then look at their asshole.
You feel a little validated by that.
Yes.
And then you can say that they're threadbare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's intense.
Yes. yes, I've had too much of my espresso beer. So
not blogging about it. You're just doing it.
I was just doing it. And
in the flats of Williamsburg.
Yeah. Oh, and so the one, Williamsport.
Williamsport.
Yeah, you're good, good.
Yeah, sorry.
The one, the issue there is just that people didn't bike for transportation. And so I got a lot of people screaming at me and biking or driving really close to me. It wasn't
While your
pleasant.
Kids are on there?
Yes, because it's seen as
Assholes.
Very dangerous. Totally. As a very dangerous activity. And of course, no one had ever seen like.
So they're going to prove how dangerous it is.
Yeah, I know, right? No, like seriously, speed up and like be screaming, what the hell are you doing? You need to learn where to ride your bike, you know? Because also, right before we left, they'd put this really expensive trail down by the river that you couldn't actually really easily get to unless you put your bike on your car.
Okay.
And then you could go around the river. And so that like solidified it in everyone's minds that
that's where bikes
belong. That's where you're supposed to bike.
And they're for recreation, not for transportation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Are you familiar with A Simple Six?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah, we talked to Stacey. Well, actually, I guess I talked to Stacey. We Skyped last year.
Oh, did you? Really?
But it's a very similar situation because she lives in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on the town name, but it's kind of the same thing where it's like there is no infrastructure and drivers are not very considerate.
Yeah.
And so, and also this last spring, I visited South Carolina and I got a taste for kind of what roads are like in kind of the eastern part of the country. And like, you don't really have a shoulder. They're not very wide. Yeah. It's kind of scary. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's different. And that's what brought me out to Portland. I started biking more and I realized like,
fuck this. I'm going where bikers are.
I'm out of here.
I'm going
to go find my tribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, there's something to that. Like I would like to believe that you can do the things that you care about anywhere in the world, but there's also like the built environment around us does contribute pretty heavily to how we live our lives.
Yes.
So if you move to a place where it's easier to bicycle, you're probably going to do it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And feel better about it.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that people would say to me, I took very personally, like as a mom, just, you know, when people are shouting that you're endangering your children, it's hard not to feel really shitty about that. And here there's like there's tons of parents with kids on bikes and you know, they'll like give the finger with you or, you know, whatever, but you know, you feel like you get some commiseration, you know, and you feel better about yourself and more angry at people who are screaming out their windows of their vehicles at you. But
So what does the ride look like now that you figured out how to do it? How do you get everybody on there?
Okay. So, well, right now I actually only have 4 kids on my bike because my older two are off of it. They're able to ride alone and safely, but
they're walking on their own, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're more independent. So my bike has 2 benches in the front. So at one time we had 4 kids in the front. Then I have a seat on the back. So I put another kid there.
Uh-huh.
And then when I moved to Portland, I got a, little contraption called the Follow Me Tandem. And, which hooks in another bike to the back.
So is this the...
It's like a double tag-along? Or...
Yeah, it just hooks up an entire bicycle. It lifts up the front wheel of the back bike.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think because I've seen something like this before where you're tying like basically a bar from the back of your bike to the front of the child's bike.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
That's probably something slightly different because it sounds like this one. You said the front wheel of the child's bike is off the ground.
Exactly.
So... it's almost like a tow truck.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which you can then like, so you could be biking someplace where it's kind of unsafe and you don't really want your kid loose. And then when you get someplace safer, you can unhook them really easily and off they go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like that flexibility.
Totally. I'm blanking on it like a superhero transformer thing where things like all come together and make a big thing.
Would you say it's more than meets the eye?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I think you're thinking of Voltron.
Probably. Yeah,
all form the robot with the different things.
I'm terribly illiterate when it comes to like actual, I didn't watch a lot of that stuff as a kid, so I like it, but I don't know how to talk about it. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I think that was a thread killer.
Let's go back to insulting the East Coast.
but you've got this hooked up. So you said now there are 2 children that are independently bicycling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the remaining 4 in the bucket, the box?
Well, they kind of move around, so I'll often have a kid on the back, back bike,
mm-hmm.
and then generally like 3 kids in the box in the front.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, you know, with 6 kids, we've always got kids with us. You know, there's always like our kids and then there are like extra kids that come along.
I think I remember reading about this. Was this the Bike Portland article or something else where you were talking about just, piling people on and like grabbing your kids and other people's kids and just like, you know.
Yeah, it might have been there.
Okay.
It happens all the time.
But I like the idea. It's like, I mean, if most parents are picking up their kids' friends in minivan, you're picking up your kids' friends with the Bockfeets.
Exactly. So. The life is the same. Yeah. So... Intriguing. It's like when you have 3 kids, you get a minivan so you can take the friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bike does just fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So have the kids taken to it?
Yeah. Well, you know, my kids, they love to bike. Here's the deal. The bike is my thing. It's complicated. Having 6 children is joyful, wonderful, fantastic, and sometimes difficult. Yeah. Because sometimes they don't want to do what I want them to do.
Sure.
And that's whether you're in a car. We had, I mean, that's why I loved my DVD player so much. You know, like plug them in and...
It's an opiate for the masses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the big thing was that I got time to think.
You right.
Because they are all like plugged in.
Right.
My one of my daughters has just the worst motion sickness I've ever seen in my whole life. And so when we went, the truth is when we had a car, we really didn't go anywhere. The bike actually has opened up a lot of possibilities for us that we didn't have before because she would just get so sick.
Huh.
But yeah, on a bike... the kids aren't always into it. We have a lot of temper tantrums. And unlike in a car with tinted windows, it's all like out there.
It's all public.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's very public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How does a temper tantrum on a bicycle look
like? Oh, my. Okay. So my son who's six, he's kind of gotten out of this now. But a year ago, it was a rough year. Something would not be to his liking. We would be like 5 miles from home, and I would not do something exactly right, and he would just outright refuse to get on the bike. It'd be like raining and getting dark, you know?
and it didn't matter.
And I'm hungry. Yeah. And it'd been a long day. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
And he's like a big brute, you know?
Yeah.
So he's strong. Okay. You might have to edit this out.
All right. We'll see what happens.
If there are any parents listening, I did not just say this. No. I swear, there's these giant bungee cords. They're like really fat. Uh-huh. And I get them at Freddy's.
Oh, the flat ones?
Yeah, the flat ones. Like really big, but they're like this wide.
Yeah.
I have some on my back right now. They're amazing because you can actually take a child who is flailing and plop them on the back seat. And just wrap them.
It's
in
like
bungee
a seat
cords.
Belt.
Yes, it is a seatbelt. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what a 5-point harness is.
Right.
But when everyone is watching the spectacle and they watch the bungee cord, and he's like, I'm not getting on that bike.
Hello, social services.
Like, oh, yes, you are.
Well, yeah, no, but that's the thing. Like, no one would think twice if you were like seat belting him into
exactly.
the seat against
yes,
his will.
Exactly.
But if it takes a different form and you're not in the minivan,
yeah.
Suddenly it looks strange. So
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. I think like with the automobile allows everyone to have these like very isolated lives.
Sure.
Which,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. We're all out there.
I mean, theoretically, I think that's where road rage comes from.
Yes.
Like,
right.
It's so
anonymity.
Much easier to be
right.
mad as somebody that, yeah, that you don't know or don't really have to see for yeah. more than just that blip that they pass you or you pass them.
I think there's several comedians that have made monologues on that topic.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
totally.
There goes my second career.
I'm trying to remember who. I think it might have been Louis C.K.
That's
was talking
about
like, yeah, just like you put a guy into a car and, you know, nicest guy in the world. So maybe it was Seinfeld. Maybe it was both or all of every comedian has done this. Anyways.
And airplane food.
Seriously,
what's
up with
that? Am I right?
Yeah.
Hello? Is this thing on?
In the back. No, that's. I think that is very interesting because, yeah, you do have this isolated experience. And when you have to do these things in public, I mean, it's like the awkward feeling I've gotten when I visit my friends who have children and they go from being like, you know, my friend that I like grew up with in college or something. And then like
now
they go into parent mode
or a mom,
and
know.
Suddenly they have to like spank their kid or whatever. And yeah,
you have to be stern sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not good at this.
And I'm like, I'm very uncomfortable. I don't know how to handle this, but I think as a parent, like you kind of, you're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's daily life, you're kind of used to the politics and the dynamics of being differently aged people trying to get along, and one person who's allegedly an authority and the other person who's not respecting that. And
yes, and after six kids, I mean, you really get used to the fact that kids are kids.
Uh-huh.
Sure. So they're gonna have meltdowns. They're gonna, you know, he needed to eat. He needed a nap. You know, they're gonna. To do that. And if you're on a bike, they're going to do that in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And that's going to complicate getting home sometimes.
So do you think having kids on the bike, do you think that's made you a better parent in any way? Is that...
I haven't killed them. Oh, gosh. No. It has in the sense that I love my kids so much. And sometimes I have kind of given of myself so much for my kids that I've kind of lost myself. And I think, you know, before I found my bike, I was I wouldn't trade any, frankly, of my choices for the world. But I was kind of unhappy. I didn't have a way of getting my needs met. And my big thing is I wanted to be with my kids and spend time with my kids. I didn't want to like go to a gym. I don't get gyms. It seems painful. But
right.
I didn't want to leave my kids to go and get fresh air and get exercise and have some of my own needs met. And on my bike, I don't know. It's just, first of all, I feel so happy. Like if I can be in the worst mood and it can be pitch black and pouring down rain. I don't want to get on, but we have no food in the house or whatever. And I get on the bike and like 5 minutes in, I'm just so happy. Like it just recharges my batteries.
Uh-huh.
And it meets my needs for exercise and you know, getting brain space, you know, because I now do plug my kids in. I give them all devices.
There you
know?
You go.
Phones, yeah. iPads.
So instead of a DVD player in the minivan, you've got iPods.
Yeah, it's
in
terrible. I know that they should be enjoying nature and bonding with the community.
but
I'm
also,
desperate.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I have really high ideals as far as like, well, when I have kids, they're not going to watch TV. They're going to, you know, they're going to grow up like I did, play in nature and whatnot.
Yes,
but
yes.
But then there's like, I mean, all of my friends who have kids, eventually, like you find that video is a great distraction. And I don't think it has to be a terrible thing. I think like, I mean, obviously
there's certainly worse distractions.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which lead to like violence against your brother or whatever.
Right.
but I think like, you know, if you can control the content that your kids are getting, in a lot of ways, you know, if they're learning something while they're riding in the bike, looking at an iPod touch, then, you know, that's probably
sure.
okay. You give them
sure.
a documentary about trains or
peak oil.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe media is good. I don't know. I didn't grow up with a television.
Right.
And I grew
right.
up on, you know, this little farm, you know, and uh-huh. I was outside all the time. And, I have a very negative view of those things. However, I have been in the position where anything, what do you want? Anything I will give you if you will just leave me alone.
Yes. right.
But I think every parent sort of, I don't know. I can't speak because I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
But I imagine every parent has that moment where they're like, you know, just shut up.
Yeah.
whatever I can do, like, even with infants, I mean, that's what the pacifier is. Well, it's in the name, but
it pacifies, you know, the infant.
Yeah. You have this crying infant that doesn't have the language to
like,
tell
I
you,
want
like,
something in my mouth.
I need to get changed. Or,
give me boobies.
Yeah,
right.
And also, like, well,
never
I,
changes.
I
does
fed
it?
Him just 2 hours. To yeah. Anyways, yeah. So you kind of do the thing because. You can't stand having this crying baby in your ear all the time.
You know, okay.
I'm not a parent.
Yeah, so I just take that baby and I sit him in front of the TV. Sorry.
No, but again, I mean, I think there is like, there's this altruistic space that you have to find between like, you know, my rugged idealism of like, oh, my kid's going to grow up and be like crazily smart and whatnot. And the idea of like, well, I'm still a person and, you know, at 35, I need to like, make sure that as my child is learning how to walk, that I know how to get my own time and space.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Self-care, I think, is really important mm-hmm. for people at every stage of life. But I think it's harder to care for yourself as a parent, probably because you also have the responsibility of caring for a lot of other people. So,
yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if the bike helps you do that, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And like you were saying, it's this is not an antisocial thing and it's not an anti-family thing. Like you can take people with you.
Exactly.
As opposed to going to the gym, which is stupid because, well, and I mean, I guess I can't knock gyms. Like some people need them. But if you can be outdoors, you can breathe actual fresh air.
Yeah.
You can actually be going somewhere and seeing something interesting, mm-hmm. varying your routes and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's
Bumping.
Way better. That's way better than a gym.
Oh yeah.
In my opinion.
We see so many people that we know. That's what I love too about not being in a car. It's like
uh-huh.
we just see people everywhere that we know.
Right.
I don't know. It's just pleasant.
Totally.
Know?
Yeah. So what's next for all of you? I assume as the kids get older, they're all going to start riding their own bikes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So
are you going to have to replace the weight? Ride with sandbags or something?
I don't know. It is. I love having a heavy bike. I've never understood
yeah.
the whole light bike thing. Yeah, no, as they get older, I've got 2 on their own bikes now, and my husband is not into bikes at all,
uh-huh.
and I had kind of pressured him into into riding a bike, you know, which is not very fair to him. But
how did that go?
Oh, great. No, I'm just kidding. He loves doing things he doesn't want to do.
Sure.
Thank you, honey.
But it's not really his bag.
It's not his thing. Yeah. And so he does ride with us. So if we go anywhere as a family, it's by bike. I have never driven a car in Portland. He's actually, my husband is amazing. And he brought me out here because I was like, oh, let's move to Portland.
Well, that's, I mean, for someone who's already established and already has kids like that, as parents, that's a tricky decision to make, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that says a lot about him that he's willing to pick up and go from one thing to another. So that's great.
I love that man. But yeah, so, I convinced him that he needed a Christiania trike. You know, it's a box trike with the front, the two wheels in the front instead of the back, you know?
Yeah, is that the one with the leaf springs? It's got like I don't know words either.
I don't know.
It's like a big flatbed thing?
No, it has sides.
Okay.
It's like a big wide box with tall sides.
Yeah. Clever Cycles has one?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yes. And so I convinced him. He was quite miserable on it. Tipped it a bunch of times.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it's a trike.
They're easy to tip. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we just realized I kind of made a mistake with that. But my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, is obsessed with cargo trikes now.
Oh, really?
And so she's riding it. And she's riding her siblings around.
Really?
Yes.
Really? So kind of like following in your footsteps.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing is like they're their own people. So I don't know.
Sure,
they might grow up and drive monster trucks.
Right.
I'm
always curious about that because, you know, Joe Kermaski, the metal cowboy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We had him on like 2 years ago. And I don't remember if we got him on tape talking about it, but I think we had an interesting conversation about like now that your kids are growing up, like, you know, I think at the time he was writing about his cross country journeys with the kids, they were, you know, 5 and 6 or 4, somewhere in there, like really young. And, at this point in time, they're like, you know, teenagers and kind of coming into their own and becoming individuals and probably learning to drive and getting their cars and whatnot. And like, just wondering when you grow up with parents of a certain ideal, like, do you naturally react against that? Or are they going to be like really, really like into cars because their parents are so into bikes, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we lived near a lot of, you know, Amish folks, you know. And like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
They all have their Rumspringa.
That's joke, you know, jokes about, like, all the car salesmen are actually, like, former Amish, you know. Because they're so obsessed with cars, you know.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do. Certainly don't want to push them, really. I want them to choose their own way, you know. And, I mean, I'm certainly not going to buy them a car.
Right.
Or take them to get the driver's license or enable them in any way, but
but also you're going to give them the freedom to make their own choices.
Yeah,
so,
you know, because they're smart and capable and I don't know. I think they're going to be amazing people. And
yeah, totally.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're getting close to an hour at this point. So is there anything else you want to kick in before we kind of wrap up?
Something you really wanted to say on Ricky Lake that,
well, you know what? I don't know about on big ass.
Big
ass. One thing that's really wanted to say is kind of a neat thing that happened since the story with Jonathan Maas is that I have reconnected. I have a half sister through my dad that I didn't grow up with at all. I hadn't seen since I was 12.
Uh-huh.
She lives in Pittsburgh. I reconnected with her. She has now bought a cargo bike and is biking everywhere with her kids.
Really?
And so that's kind of like...
Because her dad's been sending her these Pico
DVDs? No, she doesn't have a relationship with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we have to... I think it's like a genetic thing is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of this bent towards big-ass bikes.
Predisposed, yeah.
I got that in one more time. Yeah.
That's great. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what's her experience been? Like, has it been... is it similar? Like, was she facing similar challenges that you did? Or
she's got two kids out of Yuba. And so different sorts of challenges. And with
many
very
more
little,
hills over there,
yes,
too.
Hills and cobblestone and potholes.
Yeah.
I went and visited her and was just, I biked all over Pittsburgh and like I saw one other person on a bike.
Uh-huh.
It was just so different.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
There's no, it just felt like I felt weird on a bike. Like, what's the matter with you? You got DUI or something? Like, where's your car?
Well, it's funny. That's the big thing. Nationally, most people riding bikes are riding bikes because they are barred from vehicular transportation.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that and the bus. And the fact that there are certain pockets of the U.S., like Portland is one of them, where people do this by choice and not because, like, you know, my life sucks or something like that. It's I like that. I'm glad that that happens.
I do too.
So.
I love it here.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine, do you have stories? Like, have you connected with anyone else who has kind of followed in your example?
I've had a bunch of people like Facebook message me and on Twitter and stuff who I guess saw the Ricky Lake thing or saw the Bike Portland article and have since gotten bikes and started biking more.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can kind of claim responsibility for that. You'd be like, these are my peeps.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of for like doing whatever makes you happy. You know, like for me, it's the bike, but
yeah. Well, and I think all of us in some way or another have some complication in our lives that we can simplify that will make things, but make us feel better and make life quality of life better.
Yes.
So,
Yeah.
So I think, it doesn't have to be a bike. Although I'm certainly in favor of bikes.
Bikes can certainly enable that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah. But I guess I mean to say that I, let's see, a word that has been thrown around about me since that article came out repeatedly is the word supermom. And it was this amazing moment for me when I first saw it because I realized like this person finally does not exist. Oh. I know it for sure. Because I'm not good at so many things that are good for the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not good at those things. Uh-huh. I happen to like biking and manage with a bunch of kids. But
But you're not claiming to be some sort of prophet or
yes, no, 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 no yes. We order a lot of pizza.
There you go.
That comes by car.
Right.
But things like that.
It's very convenient, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite pizzeria?
I like Pizzicato, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Finch family had the embarrassing... I got a handwritten Christmas note from what I thought was our local Pizzicato. They said they love the Finch family so much.
Oh, no.
It was actually from the owner of the entire chain.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's even cooler.
It's embarrassing. Yes.
I see. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's very embarrassing.
In lieu of shares in our company.
Yeah. You order a lot of pizza.
Exactly. When you get to your like 600th pizza, you kind of have stock options.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Pizzicato, and they're a local Portland chain, right?
Yeah.
I know
and
that.
One in Vancouver.
Is that right?
Yes.
There we go.
They have a pot pizza.
Do they?
I don't know. I might go over there and find out.
That seems like a market that's waiting for expansion.
You can make a butter out of marijuana, and it actually bakes a lot better than like just throwing marijuana flakes into your batter of some kind.
Is it bitter butter? Or does it make the batter better?
I can't believe it's not pot.
Oh, but it is. I don't know this from experience. I've been told by a registered nurse.
That's it. Right. Yeah, I was asking for a friend.
Yeah. Right.
A guy I know. So, well, cool. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Me.
Really
it's
appreciate
great.
It. It's, mm-hmm. It's very cool. And again, you are an inspiring figure. We're very glad for your, just for what you've put out in the world that is reaping results. Mm. People are seeing this and saying, hey, maybe it is possible. So I think the more of that, the better.
Sweet. You're very sweet. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, supermom.
That's right. Yeah. wait, no. We've been over this before.
Wait,
give me 48 hours notice before you come over to my house, please.
Clark Kent wears glasses. Supermom does not.
Oh, right.
Supermom doesn't scream, where did you put your helmet?
Precisely. One last thing. How was it putting Ricky Lake herself into the Bach feet and driving her around?
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. She was apologizing because she's like, oh, I'm too big or something. What are you talking about, girl? You're so little.
You're like one of my kids. Yeah, that's it.
It was fun, but then it was kind of awkward because we like pedaled away and then we had to small talk, you know, all the way around the
ball. Oh, right, right.
You know, it's like Ricky Lake. What do you say? You
totally.
Know, like,
So, Hairspray.
So, yeah.
I have all your albums.
I was honestly kind of relieved to pull back up. I'm like, okay, bye.
That is the artifice of like just someone that's so famous that you know so much about that all of a sudden you're like, I don't even know where to start. Yeah, what do we have in common? I like you, but we're not like, you're not like a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that? It's the line from High Fidelity. John Cusack is talking about, I'm trying to remember one of his ex-girlfriends. And he's like, she shouldn't be in the fucking phone book. She is a god, not a person, something like that.
Yeah, the one played by Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's it, yeah. And then you know, it's like you get to that point where you're like...
in the phone book! Yes, I'm remembering that scene.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then that just kind of goes to prove that like we're all people. And we all make small talk and we all hit the 7-minute lull. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Let's put this baby to bed.
As Joe Doble would say.
That's right.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774.
Or you can text us.
That's right. I keep forgetting that.
It's okay.
Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. And even though we didn't use it yet again, thanks for Hurtbird for our headline sounder.
Find him at
hurtbirdmusic.com.
See everyone. Fuck.
Go to hell.
Shit. Big ass.
A happy June, everybody. We'll see you later.
'Falls mostly on the plain.
So I've been told.
Yeah.
Words. Something clever.
Can I drink like on here? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Never done a podcast before.
We're not FCC regulated.
Okay.
Right. You can say whatever you want. So it's
the SWAT teams are going to come through the door.
Right. Well, the door's open. So,
it's open.
You know.
Come on.
Exactly.
And now I'm with Naked Guy. So it's like, surprise! Yeah. I feel like I'm in the position of power, though.
You kind of are.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you were the one that saw me
exactly.
Naked.
Yes. I didn't
There's
hit
no
you,
reciprocation.
But...
As it should be. We'll talk until we've talked enough, and then we'll be done.